Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 32. The Apostle Peter is proclaiming the message of salvation, the gospel, to those in the region of Samaria, Galilee, Judea, which is mentioned in verse 32. They were strengthened, they were built up in the faith. And Peter is, it says in verse 32, it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There was found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Here we see a powerful effect upon the lives of people in this region. Notice it mentions two particular cities, both Lydda and Sharon. The inhabitants of these cities have witnessed a great miracle. Here is a man who is bedridden, he's paralyzed, and they witness, or at least hear about, the healing of this man. This man now is walking. He's able to get about just like a normal person could. And the result of this miracle is that people have turned to the Lord. One thing we need to always remember and keep in mind is that the purpose of miracles was always, as we read at the very end of the book of Mark, to confirm the message that was preached. We don't read specifically here about the proclamation of the gospel in verse 33, 34, 35, but we do read that Peter went to that place, verse 32, and when he performed this miracle, people turned to the Lord. You can't turn to someone who you don't know, but they knew him, and they knew what they needed to do as a result of the proclamation of the truth. We don't have miracles today, and we'll never have miracles, save the ones that are written down. The effect, though, of the message that was preached during this time can be the same today. Now, granted, soil is going to be different in different places. Just like you can go to different parts of this country, and you'll dig in the ground, and soil will be different one place than another place. And of course, we know that's the way it is with the hearts of human beings. We may teach the gospel to one person, have no response, have no reception. We may teach it to another person, and you might have interest that wanes. You might teach someone for 5 years, and finally that person obeys the gospel. But soil is tied to the human heart, and each person essentially decides what kind of soil he or she is going to be. And when we, as God's people, think about this tremendous task we've been given, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. It begins with the people around us, souls that need to be saved. But we need to remember the power of the gospel is just as real and just as alive as it was during this time. Still, God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does have the effect on hearts today as it did in the first century. If it's proclaimed in its truth without being changed, with conviction, with boldness, and most certainly with love for those lost souls that are around us. Those efforts need to be focused, as in this case, upon the lost in the world who have not yet known Christ and named Him. But also there are those who have once known Christ, but have fallen away from Him and are in need of being reclaimed, that they might not lose their salvation and be worse off than had they never known the Lord. Here we see implied a gospel message that is preached, believed, and produces faith that causes a great number of people, the residents of Lydda and Joppa, to turn to the Lord. They see what has been done, and they believe what they hear, and as a result, they are changed. But as you look here in the following verses, nearby, not too far from this place, Lydda and Sharon, lies a place called Joppa. And we're told that Joppa, here there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, who is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Here is one who was a believer in Christ, someone already converted, who now has begun to live their life for the Lord, filling their lives with the good works that Christians are to be known for. We read about Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. You're to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. The way you do that is by things that you do. We're told that we're to do good so that men may see your, what? Good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Here's a woman whose life clearly was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. And when she died, verse 37, it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. So here, something happens while Peter is laboring in Lydda. He has performed a miracle. People have turned to the Lord. The residents of Lydda and Sharon. No doubt Peter is remaining here, teaching the word, strengthening these new believers. And while he's here, he gets a message. You're needed down in Joppa. He goes to Joppa, and a sister in Christ has passed away, a certain disciple, a follower of Jesus, a woman known for good works. And here he brings her back to life. Again, the point of miracles is not to make people that are sad happy again, not just to ease hearts that are troubled. In fact, these saints would well know that this sister in Christ, full of good works and good charitable deeds, which she has done, is now in an even better place. It's almost sad that Dorcas is called from her rest to come back to this world. But the effect is that miracles produce faith. They were needed at that time. The word is being proclaimed, but it's also being confirmed. And this is the way that that's done. So that now, not only in Lydda, not only in Sharon, but also in Joppa, there are additional conversions when people are brought to the Lord. Many were told. Many believed on the Lord. And Peter remains here in this place, staying with Simon the tanner. And it won't be long until he goes on, continuing his work, and he's called to the household of Cornelius. The gospel is spreading. Much good is being done. Souls are being saved. We need to let the hope and the accounts given to us of the power of God's message to sink in and to settle in our hearts and to kindle within us a desire to be a part of this movement, to transform the world around us, to impact the lives of these people around us who know of Jesus. They know of heaven and hell. But most don't know of the church that Jesus established. They're confused by the teachings and the doctrines of men that are widespread. But there is out there good soil, hearts that are receptive to truth, hearts that when they hear about the church, when they understand the distinction between truth and error, will gladly embrace the truth. But we have to tell that truth and be prepared and ready and willing to get all the rejection and the turning away and the negativity that will be between the initial attempts to sow the seed and the final result of finding the good soil. We must labor, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, but that in the end we will reap if we do not lose heart. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6. And what we will reap is everlasting life, and furthermore, change the direction of the souls around us and giving other people hope as well. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, that hope can be possessed by you tonight if you are willing to make that decision yourself, to turn to the Lord in obedience, to have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ, beginning with an acknowledgement of your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and a willingness to turn away from past sin, to confess your belief that Jesus is God's Son, and then be immersed so that your sins and the blood of Jesus Christ can be washed away when you obey in the act of baptism. When we become Christians, it's the beginning of a road leading toward heaven. You're on a journey. And along that way, according to Scripture, there are trials, there are tribulations, discouraging things will happen. And yet there is the continual support and encouragement coming from God, coming from Christian family, and the guidance that God never leaves us without through His Word. And if you need to, as one of the saved, as a saint, to come home to the Father who gave His Son for you, if you need to return to faithful living, if you need to be restored, rekindle your zeal, whatever your needs are, you know the Lord can help you with those tonight as we stand and sing.